Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Tuesday afternoon, right around Australia, you've got Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Guys, look, it's our job, obviously, to try and entertain, to make people laugh, have a good time as they finish up at work. But obviously today, news, internet, Facebook feeds dominated by another tragic shooting, another unnecessary shooting in the United States.
Yeah, it's sadly happening too often, and nothing changes, and it seems to be happening over and over again, because we are going to cross to someone.
Aussie man who is in the room next door to the shooter at the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Vegas. We'll be chatting to him as well. He's okay.
Yes, but we also need to let you know that you may feel overwhelmed by all this and the regularity with which it's happening. And so for the second half of the show, we're also going to have some fun. So all of that is coming up.
A lot to get to.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It has been a huge 24 hours. And here's what we know so far from the shooting in Las Vegas. At least 59 people have been killed. 515 were injured. They're saying that number could rise because a lot of people have critical injuries. It appears to be the deadliest mass shooting in recent US history. The shooter, who's a 64-year-old man named Stephen Paddock, he opened fire from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, taking aim at an outdoor concert that was taking place where there was 22,000 people there. Reports so far is that the motive for the shooting is unclear. Trump has called it an act of pure evil. A lot of people avoiding using the word terrorism, which I think is really interesting, because I think a lot of people associate terrorism only with Muslim people. And I saw a really interesting tweet today where this lady called Nicole Floyd said, "Isn't it interesting when black people are involved, it's gang-related. When Latino people are involved, it's drug-related. Muslim people, we go straight to terrorism. When it's a white mass shooter, it's always that they're mentally ill."
Yeah. Do you remember the case of Anders Breivik?
Yes.
The shooter in Norway. And he actually took them to task in the courtroom for refusing to label him a terrorist. And he said, he goes, "Absolutely what I was doing was politically motivated," which is the excuse that people often use. They go, "It's only terrorism if it is politically motivated or aligned to a certain group with an ideological approach."
Yeah.
Right? And he said, "It's only because I'm white that you're not labeling me a terrorist." And a lot of people say it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter whether you label this terrorism. It's a tragic event anyway. But it kind of does when policy is informed around terrorism. If you've got then people, you know, shutting your borders on the fears of terrorism and banning Muslims for your country because of potential terrorism threats, but then the only people you will label as terrorists are Muslims, suddenly those policies are completely ill-informed and inaccurate.
This is domestic terrorism, you know, and as someone tweeted today, white privilege is committing the largest shooting in American history and being fondly memorialized, that'd be the word I'm looking for, as a country music fan. Because there was lots of headlines that said, like, Las Vegas gunman Stephen Paddock enjoyed gambling, country music, lived a quiet life before the massacre. And they're saying no Muslim terrorist would ever get a description like that as a headline on the Washington Post or the New York Times, or, you know, even referring to his interest in country music when we're talking about a terrorist. And if you want to know about, I guess, what makes up the description of a terrorist, the Nevada state law describes an act of terrorism as one that involves the use or attempted use of sabotage, coercion, or violence which is intended to cause great bodily harm or death to the general population. And that is what has happened.
I mean, we can even dumb that down further to incite terror, right? You can see pictures of people fleeing and go, if that's your main intention, then that is terrorism. And also, I mean, we had a lucky, a lucky leadership maybe choice in our country. John Howard did a great thing when Port Arthur happened, right? The only good things that can come out of tragedies like this are change. And if they're not going to do anything about their gun laws, these things are going to keep happening.
Well, they're not. If they didn't do anything after Sandy Hook,
you're right.
Why? I mean, the innocent children killed. They're not going to do something now. I mean, even Donald Trump has tweeted, you know, nothing strong, nothing, you know, coming out, you know, criticizing their gun violence, just saying my warmest condolences and sympathies. You know, that's as strong as it got. You know, yes, he described it as a pure act of evil, but that's where it stops. It's not now we must, you know, end gun violence in this country.
You know, the only thing that changed from Sandy Hook was the sale of bulletproof backpacks for kids went up. I mean, if that's the country you're looking at, that's why this is so frustrating, even though obviously it's the other side of the world for us. You know, your hearts go out to everybody,
oh, of course, everyone.
Everybody involved, but it also, the frustration that must be involved. If you're a family member or you know someone's been caught up in this, and for years you've known we've got to do something about these gun laws and nothing gets done, It's just so frustrating.
I was reading something today about the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment, and they were talking about a simple thing about the loading of a gun. So when that was brought in, the Second Amendment, to reload a gun with a bullet took 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, with automatic weapons, you are killing people en masse. It's a different time, and that this right to bear arms, people walk around America saying, it's our right to bear arms. Not all Americans, but portions of America. But the times have changed. And when that came in, we're in a very different world now with different machinery and you know, technology has changed and they need to revisit it. Even if they stay with the right to bear some form of arms, that it's not the same as it was when it was brought in.
It's not even... we're not even talking about revisiting something over and over. That was 1791.
I know.
You know, that was a long, long time ago. And if it means we're going to keep losing life like this, then something has to happen. I also think Donald Trump saying it's an act of pure evil, I think that's kind of distancing yourself because it kind of implies we can't do anything about it.
No, it was interesting also hearing the brother of this Stephen man was doorstopped. And, you know, everyone wanted to know what group, because ISIL has already claimed responsibility. In fact, they've got no grounds to claim responsibility, no proof of anything.
And which we should say, they do that often. For every attack,
absolutely, because
right?
They want to, you know, make claim to these so they seem more powerful than they actually are. But his brother was doorstopped and he was even saying that they did not see this coming. And I think we have a little bit of it here, actually.
It had nothing to do with any political organization, religious organization, no white supremacist, no criminal record. He has no record of any affiliations. He has nothing.
What about mental illness?
Did I know of?
History of mental illness?
Absolutely not. He just hung out.
Hey, I think obviously it's a tragedy, but I think there are small things to be taken from any of these. I know with the Boston bombing, it was the photos that came out of the people running towards the blast rather than running away, people trying to help rather than fleeing the scene. I think the first thing that I noticed from this was that the one ray of good news to come out of an otherwise tragic situation was that there are lines around the block of people donating blood and trying to help those people.
Absolutely. I mean, food donations, shelter people, offering rooms for people to stay in.
Yeah.
One Aussie who was over there is a man named Brian who was actually staying in the room right next to the room where the shooter killed all these people from, and we will be chatting to him in a moment.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Sadly, news again dominated by another mass shooting in the United States, this time in Las Vegas. One man that was there involved saw everything happen right in front of his eyes. An Australian man from Wagga Wagga, now living in the States. His name is Brian Hodge, and he joins us this afternoon. Brian, thank you so much for taking the call.
No problems.
So tell us about last night. I understand you were in the room next door to where it all went down. Is that right?
I was staying on 32nd floor, so next door to the shooter. And I got up onto my level and a woman came running at me and she had a look on her face that I've never seen before. It was just very blank and she couldn't really speak. And then she just blurted out and said, there's a shooter. He's shooting. We need to go. We need to run. We need to get out of here. And I was kind of shocked. I didn't know what she was kind of saying. And then all of a sudden I saw more doors opening and people running. And then I realized that, you know, this was something kind of serious. So I got everybody and we got in an elevator and we ended up getting down to a kitchen at the back of a restaurant in Mandalay Bay, and I ran through the kitchen and, you know, it was business as usual. They didn't know what was going on. So I said, guys, there's an active shooter. We need to get out of here. We need to get out of this kitchen. And they weren't really paying attention because obviously I was nobody to them. And I said, guys, we have to get out. We need to get outside of the building, not under a desk, not in a room. We need to be outside. So we got outside and there were some bushes and I said, everybody just needs to hide in these bushes. Like I'm Australian. I have no idea. I've never been in a situation like this before. But my instinct just says, let's get down on the ground. Let's hide in these bushes and then just wait. And so helicopters flying above, lights shining down. And then I started to kind of get a little bit fearful of how do we show that we are people, you know, civilians. We're not part of this horrific thing that's going on. And I saw some lights shining and then some yelling starting, and I heard them say, you know, who's there? Identify yourself. And again, I was like, I don't know what is the right thing to do or say. And police you know, protect themselves. And, you know, if they're feeling that something is not right, they're going to do something about it. And so that was my biggest fear. And, you know, I had my staff with me and they all had machine guns. They were pointing straight at us. And so they said, just stand up. You know, that they were great. They were super helpful. They said, put your hands behind your head, walk out of the bushes. They kept talking to us. So they checked us, asked us questions, asked if we have any footage, any photos, and then sent us on to the next kind of area where we went through that process again. And then we got let off the property of Mandalay Bay. And they said, you just need to walk down Las Vegas Boulevard and just keep walking. It's going to be miles. Just keep walking and a bus will pick you up. And probably 4 or 5 hours later, and we finally got out and we had to find somewhere to stay for a few hours until we could figure out what we were going to do next.
Brian, in those moments when you're in that bush and you're just essentially waiting and you don't know what's going to happen, I mean, are you thinking of texting loved ones? Are you thinking of worst-case scenarios? Are you thinking, what can I do to help? What's actually going through your head?
I kind of just, you know, was talking to my team saying, you know, what do you think? This is my first instinct. I think, you know, all of our phones should be on silent. We should turn our screens down so it's not bright. You know, we should definitely be texting people and letting them know that we can't speak right now. We should be checking social media to the police have, you know, great social media keeping people up to date. But I didn't really know the right or wrong thing to do. So I just said, everybody just lay down and let's wait.
Sounds like you have the cool, calm, collected head anyone would want in a situation like that. Sounds like you responded perfectly. What was it like when you were then walking down the street? I mean, it's a town of so many visitors. Were people panicked? Was it silent? What was the feeling when you were all walking these 4 or 5 kilometres?
It was silent. People just weren't talking because, again, everyone didn't really know exactly what was going on. So the police force and everybody involved in the city were just amazing. I remember laying there thinking, I've ran away from these people and I'm hiding and those people are going straight into it. Like to protect us, they were driving into it, not knowing what they were looking for, what they were going to go in for. They protected us.
And so now nearly 24 hours on, I mean, have you been able to return to the hotel? Is the whole thing shut down? What's Vegas look like in general?
So the area here in this end of town is still in lockdown. The hotel is back open, but the streets are still closed. When I got back and I said, hey, you know, can I get back to my room? Can I get anything? And they said, we can get in and get your stuff and you can make that, you can go in yourself or we can have someone take you in there. And it kind of hadn't really hit by then. And I went up to the level and I got out and I was back, you know, faced with what I was faced with last night. And, you know, the sound of the guns and the fire of the, you know, the bullets when I was up there. And I just said, look, you guys can just go in, just grab everything. And I'm just going to wait here. I don't want to go back to that.
Brian, I understand you're in the live music industry. You put on events. You were there with Weezer. I mean, we've seen this happen, the Bataclan incident in Paris, the Ariana Grande incident, and now this. It feels like, you know, live music is such a place of joy, you know. Does it change how you feel about, you know, security and safety at venues and events going forward?
Yeah, so I haven't had a lot of time to reflect on it, but one thing that's really kind of come out of this, I think it needs to change. I think they really need to think about it. And I realize that it's not safe. The security here is not great. I've always loved that Vegas is very free. You know, you come here, people have a good time. But last night, it really kind of hit me that I was like, I don't think that's the right way going forward. I don't think being able to walk in with 20 machine guns and not get noticed and have scopes in your room set up for 3 days, like, it's something that the city's obviously never really had to deal with, but I think now it's something they really do.
Well, Brian, you've been living there for 5 years, but you're a young man from Wagga, and although this has been an absolute tragedy, it is nice to hear your voice and hear that you are now safe and well and stay that way. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thank you so much, guys.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, so I've got a night that I need to tell you about.
Oh. I love your nights. I live vicariously through you. What happened?
Well, I had a bit of an incident with some very high-profile people.
Oh.
I think you should know
about
it. Is
going to bring our show into disrepute?
Maybe. I was in your hometown. Mm. I was in Perth.
Oh, you love Perth.
Last week.
Getting a bit of sunshine, soaking up the rays.
The Wild West. There was a few rays there and it was great. And I was with a few workmates over there and we went to go out to a nice dinner. We went to go to the casino. I haven't been there. Never done that.
It's all fancy.
It's new and it's very fancy.
Yeah.
Too fancy for what I was wearing. Oh. I was wearing these jeans that you can see, right?
The ones that you cut a hole in.
No.
Cut the knees out of.
These ones were pre-cut, but you can see my knees, right?
And more than just your knee, I can see half your thigh.
Yeah, well, he said to me, he goes, no ripped denim, right? And I panicked because I was only there for 2 nights. I don't have other pants, right? So I said to him, I thought on my feet, and I said, do you have a problem with shorts? And he says...
Oh, you can chop the legs off. Amazing.
Not even. I didn't chop the legs off. He said no. So I went and I hid behind a pillar. I took these jeans off and I just rolled them up, right? I turned them backwards and folded them up and then came back with...
You are smart.
Smart and stupid looking. Because I've now got these denim things with my knees out. I look ridiculous. But they let me in, right? We go and we're sitting at this fancy restaurant. We're having dinner with famous people or friends? Just friends, friends, right? But then in rolls this posse. And like just about, there would have been about six or seven of them, all kind of 6'5", African American. And some word starts going around. They go into a private dining room at the back. Word starts going around.
Who was it?
Well, word starts going around. They're rappers. Uh-huh. Right? They're rappers. And then
Rappers in Perth? What are they doing in Perth?
Well, hang on. What's on at the moment? And I thought, oh, listen, what's on at the moment? This big music festival, right? And I thought, who's there? And then luckily, two of them came out to go to the toilet. And I went, oh, my gosh, I know exactly who that is. It was Bryson Tiller and Future, right? Now, Bryson Tiller, you might not know.
I don't know either.
But you would know. You would know this song. When I was
you, while I get Yeah.
So you know.
Oh, I love that song.
You know who does? You know who does this song? This song is DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
And Bryson Tiller. Oh. This is Bryson Tiller's bit. I heard it for the taking. Right?
Yeah.
Massive rapper, right?
Awesome.
He's got, I think, a lazy 5 million followers on Instagram. Future, you might not know, but he did an album with Drake, right? They did an album together. 11.2 million followers on Instagram. This is one of his little ditties, right? He does those, you know, this weird rapper that, where they just repeat Tyler stuff now? With like calamari, calamari, calamari. Well, this is Drake now, but yeah.
Okay, I don't think I know.
He's one of those weird ones is hugely popular, but I don't really fully get.
He doesn't actually say the word calamari.
Yeah, he does in one of his songs. They just repeat stuff.
They're
like,
good though.
I've got a convertible. Convertible. Anyway.
Okay.
So I'm now very excited.
So you're excited with your rolled up shorts on.
I'm excited with my rolled up shorts on. And I said to the waiter, I said, can I go into the private dining room? And he said, most definitely not.
Not looking like that.
And so I waited until the waiter left. And
naughty.
I said to the people at my table, I said, bugger it, I'm going in. And so I open the door and I shut the door behind me.
You're so cocky when you've had a few drinks too.
I know, and I'm an idiot, right? Because I thought, this will be fun, right? This will be fun. This will be fine. It was like when I went in there and I shut the door behind me. I've got now like six of the most intimidating looking people in the world looking at me. And I've suddenly realized I don't have a plan, right? And Bryson Tiller, he turns to me and he goes, what do you want? And I've got nothing. And I just stare at him. And all I can hear as I'm staring at him is like his music playing in my head, right? And I'm just like, oh, no, what do I do?
You go, calamari, calamari. Oh, no, that's the other one.
But I did turn because then I thought, how can this get any worse? I turn over. Future is looking at me and he just takes off his sunnies and stares at me. And so I'm panicking, right? And so I'm looking. Now I'm panicking. I'm thinking, I've shut the door behind me. So it's me, this small white kid in this room with six of the biggest guys you've ever seen and one of the most aggressive women. And I think on my feet and I said, hi, guys. I am the off-duty manager here at the restaurant. Oh, and I just wanted to check that
you
everything.
You did not. Wearing your cut off shorts.
I just wanted to check that everything was okay. And they go, yeah, it's fine. And I said, can I get anything for you? Maybe you'd like some more water or something? And one of them goes, sure. And then I go, oh, no. So then I...
You have to go back to your waiter, mate. They want some water.
I opened the door, ran out, went to our table, took our waters back of our table, and my mate's going, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, they need more water. The rappers need more water. And so then I ran back into the thing, and I went round and I poured like all six of them their waters and put them there. And I said, well, if you need anything else, I'm actually just out with my friends and I'm having a drink, but if you need anything else, come see me. And it was that stage that he looked down at my legs and he goes, off-duty manager, huh? And I went, yep. And he looks down at my bare legs and he goes, you're pretty off-duty.
Ouch.
Yeah. And then I got out of there. So
I think you came out pretty unscathed.
Thank you.
I've been out with you on the town, and when you think things are fun ideas, they're usually not. They usually end badly.
Well, I thought maybe this is a more common experience than just me. Maybe there's people all around this great country of ours that have had...
Pretending to be waitstaff?
No.
Rappers?
No. There's something I want to do, and it is called... Run-ins with rappers. Give us a call, 131060. Have you had a run-in with a rapper?
Who else is having a run-in with a rapper?
Probably heaps of people, mate.
No one is having run-ins with rappers. This is not a thing.
They don't have to be world-famous rappers. I'll take Australian rappers. I would take anybody. I bet you our phones will go into meltdown when we do the first ever version of... Run-ins with rappers, 131060. Give us a call now.
It's not happening just yet. I mean, the phones aren't lighting up. 131060.
Mate, not with that attitude. Come on.
All right. No, that's starting to ring.
Wow.
If it's happened here in Australia, anywhere in the world, 131060. Have you had a run-in with a rapper?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shanchakra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And appears I was wrong.
Isn't it exciting?
I was wrong.
You should have never doubted me.
Apparently lots of people have had run-ins with rappers.
No, that's not how you do it. What? You have to go, apparently a lot of people have had...
Run-ins with rappers?
Great work, okay. Because I had a little incident with Future and who was the other one? Bryson Tiller.
Oh, you were telling
the other
story.
One? We weren't there.
The other guy that likes to say calamari, yeah.
Over in Perth, I thought, have you had a run-in with a rapper? Rusty, have you had a run-in with a rapper?
Yeah, I have, with Travis Scott.
I'm so bad at this. Remind me who Travis Scott is.
Travis Scott is having a baby with the youngest Kardashian. You know the one that looks like she's 60
Kendall,
years old?
Kylie.
Yes.
Kylie. Okay.
Where did you have a run-in with Travis Scott?
We're at the airport and we actually went there to meet him and we're taking a fan photo with him.
Yeah.
And this about 6-year-old true blue Aussie bloke just walked in front of the photo and Travis Scott turned around and said, "Don't ever effing walk in front of a fan photo."
Wow.
And then this Aussie bloke's turning around and goes, "Who the bloody hell are you?"
And he said, "Travis Scott." And the Aussie bloke went, I don't trust a guy with no last name.
We got Huss on the phone. Huss, who did you have a run-in with?
I had a run-in with Ja Rule.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah,
we know who he is. How
was Ja?
Oh, okay. Well, I was a chef at that time, and I knew the promoters that got him and Ashanti to come to Melbourne. So we invited him and his crew over for dinner, and the first thing he said as soon as you walked into the restaurant was, "What's your Wi-Fi password?" Not even hello, no thank you, no nothing, just what's your Wi-Fi password?
I would have thought Jar was doing all right, that he didn't need to mooch off the Wi-Fi.
That's what I thought too.
Just spend the money and get some global roaming, Jar. You're doing all right, bro. Thanks, Huss.
Oh, this is a good one. Marley, who did you have a run-in with?
I ran into Kanye West at the David Jones food court and hugged him.
Wow. I wouldn't
have
thought.
So it was a good run-in. It wasn't a bad run-in. It was a good run-in.
Oh, that was before the Taylor Swift thing.
Oh, he was a much happier man.
They were both much happier before that run-in.
Well, Taylor was nowhere near as rich or famous, but...
Yeah, she just seems angry now. Upset.
Yeah, I know, she is angry. Was Yeezy, was he welcoming of your hug?
Yeah, he was really nice about it. He's so little.
Oh, is he?
You didn't say that just before you hugged him, did you?
You're so little.
You're so cute. Give us your cheeks, Yeezy. Hey, Sadek, finish us off. Who'd you have a run in with?
Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Oh, how good. Talk us through it. What happened?
So we were in Las Vegas driving down, and then our taxi driver decides to run a red light because we're G'ing him up that we're going to be late for a concert. And then we get down, and then he smacks the car, and then as we get down, you see the driver jump out of this nice Rolls Royce, and then we look into the window, and it's Snoop Dogg sitting out the back, and he drops the window and goes, how long is this going to take? And we see him, so we run after him, and a bunch of smoke just comes out of the window.
Wow. Isn't that what he wants?
I'm guessing his driver was...
feeling the effects. Yeah. Snoop Dogg just being the most Snoop Dogg. Isn't that great? You'd be so disappointed if you put down your window.
Juice.
Yeah. Oh, just having me kale salad, thanks. Hey, guys, that's how you play the first ever edition of...
Running with the rappers.
Great work. Thanks,
Vickers. Okay.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, it's been finals time all around the country in a lot of sporting codes, but it's also been finals time in my household.
Well, the big one. And I can't believe you've made me wait this long to find out the results.
So my partner Chris has been playing in the I-grade basketball comp with his mates.
Hey, don't talk it down too much. We're talking Monday night.
Monday night basketball.
Fully competitive.
And I obviously didn't appreciate it. It was getting me down. I was annoyed that he was so stressed about his sleeping, eating routine, all for his I-grade basketball grand final.
You just didn't understand the dedication of a true athlete.
I didn't. Anyway, he made it through the finals. Mm. They got through to the semi-final, and it was crunch time.
Here's what we know so far.
The star player of I-grade basketball led his team to victory.
It was clinical. 46-29. Got him.
The leading point scorer.
I don't know what I ended up with, somewhere around sort of the 15-20 mark.
He answers to no one.
I was hoping to ask on air if it's all right, babe. The team's planning on having, rather than a mad Monday, having a stupid Tuesday.
Australia, here it is, the big dance results.
Well, I have been waiting for this. He joins us on the line now. Walks, g'day, mate.
How are you, Tommy?
Look, I'm good, and this is good. I can already hear a bit of pep in your voice, which it's making me think like I'm in for a good result. Because what are you?
I think leave it to Chris to say. How did you go, babe?
Well, the main pep final? In my voice is because the Tigers were on the weekend.
Of course. But,
the I-grade championship was a complete disaster. Not only
what do you mean?
Not only did we go down, but I didn't even get to play.
What do you mean? What happened?
He got the flu, like influenza B, like proper flu.
I knew you'd been sick, but I thought the flu, I assumed your flu was because of your post-match celebrations, which ended up making you sick. You got pre-game, pre-granny flu.
I know, and the story was all set. I mean, I know you're a student of the game, Tommy. I don't know if you remember when Jordan came back from retirement.
Of course.
And he played what was remembered as the flu game, and he had flu-like symptoms, and he ended up scoring 38 points and seven rebounds and six assists, and they beat the Jazz. And all week I was fantasising that I'd be walking out into the A-grade final. And
that was a Freudian slip.
Great man, but the flu just got me. And so we're still in A-grade.
And so without you, the team, how much did you lose by?
Seven.
Mate,
it was close, but it was 21-14, so it was a pretty low scoring affair.
21-14.
And normally, don't you normally score half the points?
Well, hopefully the rest of the team's not listening, but I am...
You do brag about that at home, let's be honest.
But hang on, there was also Stupid Tuesday. What about Stupid Tuesday? Did that
never
still
happen? It hasn't happened.
No.
Mate, it's just such a sad ending.
I've been waiting for this for a week.
I told you it wasn't worth doing. It's such a sad ending. I feel even sad thinking about it. It was sad at the time. It's sad reliving it.
I'm sad now. You've had to put up with it for a long time. I'm so sorry.
Right, the season started again. He's back playing.
Yeah,
we're all back
up. Sorry.
It's all good.
You know what this builds? This builds a really great revenge story for next season, and I can't wait!
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And that is us done for another afternoon.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, for more run-ins with rappers?
No.
Come on. Come on.
That's tomorrow.
The Carrie and Tommy catch-up is ready to podcast now on Radio App or iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Carrie Tommy Show.